What's going on, everyone? This is Joe Jackson, your host for the Nurseology Podcast. I'm coming at you today with the first ever episode of our Pathophysiology series for nurses. If this is your first podcast with us, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the series. We're stoked you're here. We're very excited to work through this series as we explore the world of pathophysiology from basic to advanced regarding some of the things you're going to see in the nursing field. Now, our goal with this podcast is to equip nursing students and practicing nurses with easily digestible content that's going to allow you to grow in new areas if you're a student and hopefully sharpen your tools and thought processes, even if you're a practicing nurse. Now, we are all continuously learning as medicine's an ever-growing field, and if we aren't striving to grow, we'll inevitably be left behind by the changing times. Our episode today covers cellular adaptation and some of the processes our body uses to maintain homeostasis. And as always, we encourage feedback on our podcasts and our content, and we welcome recommendations for new podcasts. So if you're a nursing student or a practicing nurse and you think of a topic that would add value to this community of nurses and nursing students that are exposed to this material, we are happy to dig into the research and provide the most up-to-date information on those topics. So without further ado, let's jump into cellular adaptation. All right, now the first thing I want to mention before we get down to business here is that as a nurse or a nursing student, you're going to have a baseline knowledge of many of these subjects. However, what I'm going to do is try and provide a quick review prior to jumping into any of the information, just so that we're all on the same page. So let's talk about some terms that are pretty common, but I want to review them because they're going to be used the rest of your nursing school career, your nursing career, and they're important to understand even just for this podcast. The first one is just homeostasis, right? Homeostasis is probably something you've heard a million times. We're going to talk a little more specifically about it, but essentially it's just the balance. It's just the balance your body strives to keep. Your body is going to try and keep this equilibrium constantly throughout your day, throughout your life. Now, it's important when it comes to pathophysiology because of the way that it achieves that balance and what happens when that goes wrong. That's essentially where disease starts. So one of the things that we recognize as a very broad term for the way that your body responds to stimulus to try and keep homeostasis is a compensatory mechanism. Now, the body's going to compensate or adjust in order to maintain homeostasis. It does it in many, many different ways, depending on the imbalance or the stimulus that it receives. A really simple example is when you get hot and you sweat. The body recognizes the imbalance in homeostasis by way of increased temperature, and you begin to sweat to compensate and cool off. A slightly more complex version of compensation is when you're not oxygenating properly and your heart rate increases to try and keep up with the oxygen demand of the body. And we're going to talk more about those mechanisms when we talk about the cardiovascular and the respiratory system, but I just wanted to drop that for free. The concept of compensation, though, is really, really important to remember because you're going to see it in every system in some capacity, and it's going to impact how a disease progresses and how we treat those diseases. So let's jump into disease etiology really quick. Simply put, etiology is just the study of how a disease came about. Now, it's more complicated than that, but from a nursing perspective, it mainly allows us to understand a disease's origin, like whether it's secondary to another disease or it's secondary to a treatment in the hospital, or, you know, where do we know where it comes from? Do we not know? So a few terms that we want to get into that are relevant for disease etiology are idiopathic, iatrogenic, acute, and chronic. Now, there's other terms, obviously, that are used when it comes to disease etiology, but these are the main ones that you're going to see most often. So idiopathic just simply means we don't know. You're going to see it quite a bit in the nursing field when there's diseases or things that come about where we can see the symptoms, we can treat the symptoms, we understand what's happening, but we don't actually know what caused it. You'll see the term idiopathic used, which just means, again, we don't know where it originates. And the second term was iatrogenic. Iatrogenic just means it's originating as a direct result of a medical treatment. So you may have heard the term nosocomial, which is like a hospital-acquired infection. It's a little bit different than that because nosocomial is just simply the microbes and the bacteria that are within the hospital, you acquiring a sickness from those. Whereas iatrogenic is actually you acquiring a sickness or a disease or some sort of issue directly as a result of a medical treatment that we have given you. Acute, more of a category of disease, right? So it's basically a descriptive term that describes diseases that come on rapidly and are treated and resolve quickly. Some examples of that are pneumonia, fractures, GI bleeds, gastritis, you know, different things like that, where it's going to come on pretty quickly. It's going to be pretty painful. And generally speaking, we're going to be able to treat it and it's going to resolve. Chronic, on the other hand, is more insidious in nature, harder to detect, generally manageable, but not typically curable. So chronic illnesses are the ones that are included in someone's health history or medical history. So things like COPD, heart failure, diabetes, hypertension, those are going to be your chronic diseases. Now, I do want to add a note here. As we move forward in medicine, we learn more and more about these diseases and how to treat these diseases. Some of these diseases, although we recognize chronic diseases as generally not curable, some diseases with a healthy diet and exercise are actually resolvable or curable, for lack of a better term. So things like hypertension, some causes of hypertension can actually be treated and resolved with a healthy diet and exercise. Diabetes type 2, a lot of times can be either reduced significantly or completely resolved with a really healthy diet and exercise. And we really, on this podcast, we like to push everything that we can that's going to be more holistic care for your patients. So we want to make sure that when we are talking to patients about diseases like diabetes type 2 and hypertension and things like that, that we're always stressing that diet and exercise. Because in the long run, having a healthy diet, feeding your body what it needs, and then exercising frequently is going to be good no matter what situation you're in. And the bottom line is, we recognize now that a lot of these diseases, depending on the origin, can actually be cured or resolve just with a simple diet and exercise. So another note on acute and chronic is what we call acute on chronic, or an acute exacerbation of a chronic disease. Now, there's going to be a lot more terms on each podcast that are going to be important to know, but I just wanted those to be some staples that we hold on to before we jump in. So let's jump into cellular adaptation. Now, it's important to remember that cellular adaptation at its core is just a compensatory mechanism, right? So like we talked about a minute ago, the body is going to compensate and adapt to the stimulus that it receives. So on a cellular level, we call this cellular adaptation. It's essentially the cell's ability to adapt to stimulus. So the body's going to compensate to that stimulus and adapt. Some cellular adaptations that are important to understand are atrophy, hypertrophy, hyperplasia, metaplasia, and dysplasia. We can also throw neoplasia in there. And we're going to touch on that today, but we're going to give cancer and neoplasia its own podcast because we think it needs it. So first one is atrophy. Now, when a cell's workload is reduced, it compensates by decreasing the size of those cells, right? So the workload on that cell is reduced and the cell shrinks. That's atrophy. Now, an example of that is like a casted leg. So if you've ever had your, you know, leg casted or your arm casted for 6 to 8 weeks or 12 weeks or however long you needed it, you more often than not see a reduction in the size of the muscle tone in that arm or leg versus the other side. And that's because you're just simply not using it. So the workload on those muscles has been decreased because you haven't used them, and those muscle cells literally shrank or atrophied. So that's a pretty common one. Now, an interesting note with atrophy is it can actually be caused by many different things. It can have many different origins. So the first, what I just explained with the cast is disuse. That's the cause of it being caused by disuse, simply not using those cells. But there's also denervation, endocrine hypofunction, inadequate nutrition can cause atrophy, or ischemia, which is just ischemia. We'll dig into ischemia more in later episodes, but for now, just recognize that it's a lack of oxygen on a cellular level. Ischemia is actually the cause of the pain in a heart attack. It's the lack of oxygen to the myocardium. But again, we'll talk about that in a later episode, so that's all free. The second term I want to talk about in cellular adaptation is hypertrophy. Essentially the opposite of atrophy. Hypertrophy comes about by increasing the workload on a cell, causing it to grow in size. So a really common example that's used a lot is bodybuilders, which is a healthy version of hypertrophy in most cases. It's essentially increasing the workload on those muscle cells cause those muscle cells to grow in size. Now, that's a generally healthy side of hypertrophy, but we also see hypertrophy, since we're talking about pathophysiology, in diseases like hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is an abnormal enlargement of heart muscle, essentially. And again, we'll dig a lot deeper into that when we get into the cardiovascular system. But there are definitely, hypertrophy is seen in both good and bad contexts. The next term we want to talk about is hyperplasia. So this one's a little bit different. We're getting out of the individual size changing. When we get to hyperplasia, that's actually when the number of cells within that organ increase due to the increase of mitosis or cell proliferation or cell growth. An example of that is BPH, or benign prostatic hyperplasia, where the prostate itself essentially grows more tissue and it starts to impede on the urethra, and there's different medications and surgeries for that, but that's a pathophysiology side of it. Some normal examples of hyperplasia are things like menstruation, liver regeneration, or just simple wound healing, right? When you cut yourself and it heals, that's hyperplasia. You're because of the stimulus, because of the need for new growth there, your body's going to create more cells and stack them on top of each other until you build new skin. Now, metaplasia, on the other hand, occurs when one adult cell is actually replaced by another type of adult cell. Now, this transformation usually results due to inflammation, chronic inflammation, or chronic stress. And although the cell maintains their origin, meaning epithelial cells may become other types of epithelial cells, but they won't become nerve cells, right? They're not going to change completely. They are different types from the same origin, right? So an example of that is after what we see in patients with chronic smoking, we see ciliary changes in the respiratory tract, right? So the cells that had cilia, or the small protrusions that kind of move in wave-like forms and end up moving mucus from the respiratory tract up and out, we see in chronic smokers, we actually see those cells being replaced by cells that don't have cilia on them. So the last two types of cellular adaptation I want to jump into are dysplasia, and then we're going to touch on neoplasia. So dysplasia is when cells mutate into different cell shape, size, and appearance. All right, so it's a total transformation, completely different than its original form. Now, this adaptation is abnormal by nature, and it's considered precancerous. So generally speaking, dysplasia can be reversed by removing the stimulus that's causing the adaptation to occur, which is a little bit different than neoplasias. Neoplasias, on the other hand, are considered cancerous and in general can't be reversed, right? So it's almost like a step down, like neoplasia is full-blown cancerous growth and dysplasia is like that stage between healthy and cancerous where there's mutations happening. And they're mutating in different cell shapes, sizes, and appearance. But generally speaking, if you remove that stimulus, like smoking or whatever the case may be, generally speaking, it will resolve itself. And with a neoplasia, it can't be reversed in general. Now, those cells, obviously, we know those cells can be destroyed or removed, but they can't be reversed back to their original form. Now, cell growth that no longer responds to normal regulatory processes, those are considered neoplasms, right? So the key features of cancer are rapid rate of growth and loss of differentiation. So it's super important to remember those, because that's going to basically delineate what is cancer and what isn't, right? So what we see in cancer cells is that rapid rate of growth, or uncontrollable growth, and the loss of differentiation. So they stop specializing. Now, we're going to dig deeper into cancer on another episode. It is a vast category, so we want to give it the time that it deserves. Matter of fact, we'll probably have more than one cancer episode. But on a super basic level, you should know that carcinogenesis, which is the process by which cancer develops, includes three general phases: initiation, promotion, and progression. Initiation is the exposure to that toxic agent. Promotion is the mutated cell that's exposed is exposed now to growth factors like hormones or nitrates. And then progression is the tumor itself actually invading other tissues, or having that metastatic growth into other tissues, right? So you have that initiation, which is basically the exposure, And then it's fueled by the growth factors like the hormones and the nitrates. That's the promotion side of it. And then once it hits that promotion side, it's just a short step from promotion to progression. Once it has those growth factors and those hormones and nitrates, the next step without stopping it is going to be progression, where that metastasis is happening and that tumor or that cancer is spreading to other tissues. So that's it for now. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We always hope to add value in any way that we can. So feel free to reach out to us if you need anything at all. We're a team of nurses and nursing students looking to add value and change the way that we look at nursing school and just learning in general. So we use many, many resources to make sure that our content is as accurate as possible. And a full list of cited resources is actually going to be found on our website. So be sure to look at that if you're curious of what books we're using. We always strive to be as up-to-date as possible. So thanks again for listening. We will see you on the next episode.